We're going to be opening our Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter number 3. Yes, we'll be maybe closing out this chapter this week because in essence we're covering a lot of verses, but really we have to look at it in the context of the whole thing. See, what's happened a lot through... there's that frog that keeps on getting stuck in my throat. What's been happening through the last several years is in the church, there's been an emphasis on improving relationships. You can go to a seminary to improve... a seminar on improving your marriage, for children to obey their parents, etc., etc. And I've been through those, and I know that there might be an effect that lasts for, I don't know, maybe a day or two, or maybe a week or 2 weeks, and maybe once in a while there's something that really impacts you that you hear something from. But by and large, much of the modern church has gotten it wrong. They're trying to take a bunch of people and blend them together and then create Christ followers out of them through that. The reality, the only way, and by the way, the term Christ follower, I follow the Patriots, I don't follow Christ. I try to be a disciple of Christ, to learn of Him, to know all that I can know about Him, and know that He knows all there is to know about me. That should be sobering anyways, as we look through these passages today. So, what happens is so often that the church today treats people like they were born good. And I know that's a lie. I was born a sinner. You should have seen how I behaved when I was a baby. I used to go to the bathroom in my pants. I used to pull people's glasses and all that stuff. I needed to be corrected from day one. That's because we're born that way. We're not good with getting messy on the way and correcting those things. We're born sinners. So we need truly what Jesus Christ and the gospel is. It's truly a holistic approach. Salvation of the whole man. And nothing less and nothing more. That's what the gospel does. You were dead in your sins, but you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now you are made whole. Sure, we sin on the way. But the answer is not to try to sin less. If you try to sin less, guaranteed you're going to sin more. Because you're going to get fed up with your own self. So the goal that we have is that we know about the nature of who Jesus is and look to Him as the one who provided this complete salvation for us. So as we look at chapter 3, and we're going to begin where we left off last week in verse number 17, because 17 is the anchor for the rest of the chapter. Verse 17 says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." We'll continue through the first verse of chapter 4. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." And Lord, we just pray that you would just add your blessing to your words to us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just think. If you look at that portion of Scripture we looked at, you look at it as a whole, and try to put that against the mirror of the state of the world we're in, and by the way, the state of a lot of the church as well. As we look around, we see the effects of a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting society who has thrown all these things out. Husbands are no longer loving wives. Wives are no longer submitting to their husbands. Children are not obedient to their parents, and so on and so on. We've created, I say we, I put that in air quotes, we've created a spoiled, selfish, self-loving 1 Timothy chapter 4 society where everybody is out for their own way. Look at what's happened in the world with the attacks on marriage, the attacks on gender. There is only one kind of marriage. It's shown right there, husbands and wives. There is only two genders that were created by God. There's male and female. There's no other one. And no matter how you try to change it or change your opinion, these facts remain the same. So we look at this as a whole. If you were to try to go out and try to submit yourself to your husband without the Lord, you're going to get fed up with that husband, aren't you? Or that wife. You'll be bitter against them, as the Scripture says. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 parallel Colossians 3 and expand on it even more so. So all these things, when we try to go through each, if we were to try to go through each of the things on Paul's list here, we would find ourselves weighed and found wanted. But we need to realize once again that Jesus Christ is the one we look to. How many times would we count in these passages as saying, in the Lord, in the Lord. We'll start here once again in verse number 18. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Notice it doesn't say be obedient to your husbands, but to be submissive to your husbands as in the Lord. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and again, this is going to be a quick overview of this here. First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. Likewise, the likewise is there because the end of chapter 2 talked about the patience and long-suffering of Christ toward us. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto thine own husbands. See, Peter's admonition here to the wife who has a wayward husband. Husbands can be rascally, can they not be? Amen. All you husbands, say amen. We can be rascally. We can be mean, we spirited, but the woman is to show her godliness to the man who is acting up, who's misbehaving. A woman that happens to marry an unbelieving husband, they're good to dwell together, but she should show a godly demeanor to him and perhaps win that husband if he pleases or if he desires to live with her. So we have the women, just like Jesus Christ, being subjected to their husbands. And when we always look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we miss most of it most of the time, because husbands or wives ought to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, but the husband, let's go back to our text here in Colossians 3. Let's go back here for a second. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In other words, be patient with the wives. Be loving to the wives. Don't be mad about every single thing that she may do. Why? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And now how many times we all know this passage here. Verse number 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is generally in the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. The feminist movement does not like that whatsoever, but men have a different role than women. Men are good at certain things. Women are good at certain things. A woman on the New England Patriots probably wouldn't fit in too well, would she? Etc., etc. So women, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll end right there for now. So the husband, the wife submits unto the husband as to the Lord. The husband plays the role or sees the role as giving of himself for her, just as Christ gave himself for the church. He laid down his life for those who would believe. Likewise, the husband is to lay down his life for the wife. Try doing that without being saved. You may try, you'll fail. But when we look at these words as unto the Lord, that's where our focus needs to be. Husbands, just as Christ is, look to what Christ did. Keep in your memories, in your minds, in your hearts, the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. And because he did that, then you are empowered to live as he would see fit. Without him, without the centrality of the gospel, you can go all over the place and you'll come back in full circle. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of all things. He is the complete fulfillment of the Father's wrath that was owed to us. And he is the total fulfillment of his love toward us. Amen. Back in Colossians 3. Children, obey your parents in all things. Yes, when Paul says in all things, he means all things. There are exceptions. However, if your parent or your mother or father goes and tells you that it's okay to murder, go and kill that person, that is against the total moral law of God. Everyone knows that murder is wrong, even a child. But in all things, this is a gray area sometimes, but is where we need to apply wisdom. Some of us were saved, trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ while we were young, and our parents attended a different church. Now the right thing to do is you behave according to what the knowledge of Christ Christ is that you have, and join them and obey them in that church until you're out of the house. Then you're responsible for yourself and to be a testimony unto them. Amen. My wife was saved when she was 12 years old. She continued to be obedient to her parents and went to the Catholic Church as a testimony unto them and a testimony for the Lord in obedience. Remember, to obey your mother and father is the first commandment with promise. Right. Amen. Imagine, if you will, I hate to sound like Gene Roddenberry or somebody, but imagine, if you will, all those times when you were a child and you were disobedient to your parents. How did that work out for you? Imagine if we, when our parents said, don't cross the street when cars come, and we decided to do so. How does that work out? So obey your parents, even parents who are ungodly. And if you're saved with ungodly parents, those parents still have some sense of wisdom and how to behave. I question that nowadays, though, to see in the state of people who are parents today. And no wonder the state wants more control, because people have rejected what God has done, or His order, rather. So children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. It's that first commandment with promise. God loves that order of obedience to Him, and then children being obedient to their parents. But then parents or fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, does anybody have children or know children who are involved with athletics? Sometimes there's a lot of unhealthy motivation that's used, where you try to lay down what your kids should be doing and they don't want to do it. I know a lot of girls and boys that play baseball and softball that don't really desire to do that. These are minor things, but yet their parents are convinced that they're going to make them the next Babe Ruth. May not be the will. You're just breeding anger. There are important things to be strong in, to be unbending in. I believe in faith, being unbending. Focus on Christ. And dare I say it again, focus on Christ, focus on Christ. But the other things, the minor things, those things, people, even children, have their own will and their own desires. Some children, you might want to be an accountant, but they would be a better artist. We encourage how God has gifted them, and not be bitter because they have a different agenda than you do. It's a simple, simple thing, though hard in practice, is it not? Because sometimes we just want our kids to be just like us. Then we have people on the other side say, boy, I hope they're not just like you. Because they're individuals. We give them the right information, the right example, and they will decide what to do. Amen. As we continue on, I know this fly through here. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Who's the object here? Is it the servant or is it God? God is the object. How many of us in work, that's how we can look at servants and masters today. At one time it was literal masters and slaves. And then it's employer and employee. And oftentimes in a household, there was a master and a servant as well. But how often do we think of this? When the boss isn't looking, I'm going to try to get away with something. This is what it is. But we have somebody else that's watching, don't we? We do it unto the Lord. After all, we go to our workplaces. The workplaces, yes, we derive an income that we work for, but yet our true ministry is unto the Lord. So whether you're a janitor or whether you're a CEO, that's a ministry unto the Lord. That's where I get really irritated at sometimes at this whole dream destiny thing that, you know, get it out of your mundane life of being a housewife or a janitor. God has bigger dreams. You'll change the world for Christ. That's a lot of bunk. A lot of spiritual baloney. How do we put it? You put up the baloney detectors when you see that. God's desire for you, regardless of your position, regardless of your state of mind, is to look to Him and minister in that position. Yes, it is a great work from God to change diapers. Can I hear an amen? Changing diapers is a ministry. It serves others on God's behalf. On the diapers topic, imagine if you never changed the kid's diaper. I have a higher call, and God hasn't called me to change diapers. That's just mundane and yucky. God wants me to go out and blaze a trail for Him. Well, blaze a trail right into that diaper. That's what the idea is. So, servants obey in all things. Now, again, if your boss tells you to go out and kill somebody, don't obey that. Be sensible and logical, but remember, and you may not like this, you're ministering unto the Lord. Your job is to make your boss look good. Amen? I don't want to make that wretch look good. He deserves to get fired. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure. No. You're to minister unto Him, and ministering to Him also ministers Christ to Him. I say Him generically, Him or her. Verse number 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Whatever you do, put all of yourself into it. Why? Because you don't serve man. You're doing it to who? As to the Lord and not unto men. Try that. It's Monday. I got to go into that workplace. I got to punch a card and I got to deal with these people that I'm glad I only see them 5 days a week. Try going and saying, I'm doing this for the Lord. Right. Makes punching that clock seem so much easier and the days go faster as well. Amen. And you never know. Like I said, all the time, people are watching your demeanor. They're watching to see how you react and act in circumstances. And to remember to do it for the Lord. Verse number 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Amen. I'm heaven bound. I'm glory bound. That's my home. This is just a temporary place. And the Lord has that in store. Always keep the heavenly perspective there. What's it say back in verse number 1 of chapter 3? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. I'm just a passing through. So I am going to glorify my Savior while here. Amen. Look at the next verse. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Rich, poor, slave, nor free, if you call yourself even a Christian and you commit some sort of sin or some kind of heinous act, expect the judgment to come upon you. Yes, even people that fall into sin, who are Christians, who are forgiven by God, sometimes do fall into sin. And we're to expect that there is no respect of persons and will pay that penalty on this earth for that sin. So if you're one of us that calls themselves a Christian, goes out and robs a bank,
Well, I'm robbing the bank for the glory of God. I'm going to use that money for His kingdom and build it. Amen? A lot of people do that. It's called televangelists. But are you to expect a pat on the back and Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Tie that to your local church and we'll grow this kingdom? No. You're going to get locked up in jail for X amount of years, and I hope they throw away the key. That's the position we have. There's no respecter of persons. And Paul put chapter 4, verse 1 as part of this because he puts so much more emphasis on the master being responsible for treating those below him better. You know, masters, or I'll call them CEOs for our conversational purpose today, they think they own a person and they can do whatever they want. They think their money can buy them everything. I'll tell you, the Beatles had it right even when they said, money can't buy me love. Money can only do its purpose in providing those things that are necessary for life. We do need it to buy food, to buy clothes, to buy a roof over our head, all those things. But these masters, where Paul is talking about, he says, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Don't take advantage of it. Don't try to squeeze the pennies in order for you to profit even more. Treat them right. Don't treat one more than another. Do it right under God. Says that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So masters, don't think you're the number one. We have a master in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows everything about us, who sees everything we do. He sees when these masters treat their subjects harshly. He sees them being unfair. And not all things are fair, are they? But yet they ought to be treating people as all being part of God's creation and God's people. Amen? You know, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Ephesians 6. Let's read verses 1 through 9 because it summarizes what the last couple verses were saying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest livest long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Amen. So the Lord, think of this for a second. We weren't all born as good people, making mistakes on the way that need to be cleaned up. So I heard one local guy says, we get messy on the way and we need to clean up those messes. Well, for those messes, I'm going to get some Formula 409. If it's simply like that, just applying a principle, squirt a little bit of faith here and a little love there and a scripture here and a scripture there, and this will all be blotted out.
It's not true. The scripture, we called it last week, the Bible-driven life and the Bible-driven church shows us that we are completely, completely sinful, and we need a complete salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel doesn't focus on making disobedient children better. It doesn't focus on parents being better. It focuses on all those things, all those people looking to Christ who died for them. That's the focus. If we lose focus on what Christ did and focus on what we ourselves have done, we're in dire trouble. We are sick through and through. And as long as we look at society that has tragically rejected not only the gospel, but any kind of godliness, we see the fruits of that. If we try to focus on all these individual ills of society, you know what will happen? You've ever been stuck in the mud in your car? Your wheels just keep on going. You're doing a lot of work, but it keeps on going round and round and round. What we need to do is put a stop to that. Don't trust what we're doing, but trust that Christ has completed the task of salvation. The sinner isn't just making mistakes. The sinner is completely dead in trespasses and sins. Completely. Completely dead. You're not able to save yourself. But the good news is that Christ came. He bled, suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. If you put your trust in Him, puts an end to that spinning of the wheels. Saints, because of what Christ has done, we don't look at what His commandments, and by the way, commandments are often as principles and precepts. We don't look at what He says to be grievous. We look at them as being right for us to do. Saints, you've been freed from your sins. You've been forgiven of all your trespasses. Now you are free to serve. Christian Father, you're free to be a godly dad. Before, you were just selfish. Now, you're free to be a good dad. Mothers, you are free to be a good mom. Wives, because of the gospel, you're free to love your husband and submit to him. Husbands, because of what Christ has done, you're free to submit, to lay down your life. Amen. For that woman. And it works for children as well. Children, if you've been set free, you realize that the commandments and your parents do aren't burdensome. You're free to go about. You're free to obey. You're free to love and cherish. You're free as a Christian to serve your boss and your company. It's no longer a burden. You get to love that rascally boss that in the flesh you hate. You get to love him and desire him to excel at what he's doing. And not only excel, but point him to the cross. Amen. Or from the cross, I should say, of Jesus Christ. You're free to love your family, even your crotchety old uncle. You can love him. Do you ever have that one that only shows up at Christmas time that nobody wants to sit near? Oh, Uncle Ralph is here. You're free to love Uncle Ralph. I don't know if anybody has an Uncle Ralph that's like that, but I'm just saying, you're free to love that person that other people don't find lovely. You're free to love that person that used to be a friend, but for some reason has backed off. The gospel says you're free to love that person as well and serve that person. Amen? The gospel is what liberates us, makes us free from sin, makes us free to move about the world in Christ's name. You're free to go and make disciples of all nations. Try doing that without the gospel, and it's impossible. People try to do it without the gospel. They try to do it on human emotions and human will. It might work for a while, but soon enough, it comes crumbling down. We are free to kind of quote Martin Luther King, "Free at last! Free at last! Praise God Almighty, I'm free at last." Now you're free to go out that back door as you came, or you're free to go out that back door or front door, whatever your perspective it is. You're free to realize who you are in Christ. I'm forgiven. I can go on. I can love neighbor as I love God, because God loved me. Amen. Think of that. Christ loves you. He died for you. What an example that is for the believer and the non-believer. The believer to believe it. Guess what the non-believer has to do? Believe it. Believe that Christ died on the cross for your sin, and you'll have everlasting life. Amen. Believers, we don't only have everlasting life, we have an ever-present life. Christ is with us. Whether we believe it or not, He is with us. And He just desires us to look to Him for all things. Amen. As we close in song, be thinking about those things. Who you are in Jesus Christ, and how you got there. Amen. And His will for you to go out and shine His light as you go.